له وامتنانه وسبحان الله والحمد لله تعظيما لشأنه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we took two names of Allah. Who can remind me what they were? Everybody can remind me. Al-Ghani Al-Hamid. And we said that Al-Ghani, who can remind me what is the meaning of Al-Ghani? Yes? Someone's free of need, doesn't need anything, yes? And deserves praise, even though he doesn't need it. He deserves it, okay? And we talked about, well, we didn't get time last time to mention this, you know, something about this ayah. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Allah says, human beings are rebellious. أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. By trying to be free of need. I just want to talk about this as a quick introduction before we enter today's lesson. This ayah in the Quran at the time was referring to people who lived around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, we don't need Allah, we have our idols. They provide for us, they give us, etc. But we live in an age today where this is the slogan of most of the world around us. Most of the world around us are people who think they don't need God. They don't need Allah. And this happened, this is a story, it did not happen overnight. You know, up to the 15th to 16th century, most of the world, the way people made money, they made a living, was farming. Cows, cattle, rice, plantations, mangoes, fruits, etc. Most people were farmers. Majority of the world's economy ran on agriculture. Over time, something happened, the Industrial Revolution. The human being discovered the machine, the steam engine. And so most people started to make their living not from the farms, but from the factories. And the human beings were then removed further and further from nature. They discovered the ability to make, to produce things. They started to feel a bit proud about themselves, you know, a bit powerful, more than the farmer. Because the farmer is so dependent on the rain, on the sun, on the soil. But the moment they came into the factory, they thought, we make the machine, we produce the raw materials, we produce their output. Human beings started to think that they are the boss, that they are the powerful, they are the king. And this started to show in what happened with religion, at least in Europe. Started to challenge the church. We don't need the church. The church is oppressive. Religion is oppression. Slowly but surely, the idea started to come. We don't need God to make rules. We can make our own rules, our own morals, what's right and wrong. We can figure it out ourselves. It's happening about the 17th or 18th century. And then came the idea of Charles Darwin, that actually all of this creation that we see around us, it didn't need God in the first place. It was like the nail in the coffin. So as humans started to think, oh, I can manufacture things myself, then it became, well, I can make rules, morals, right and wrong myself. Slowly it came to the point when Charles Darwin put his theory forward that people began to get convinced we did not need Allah for you and me to exist today. It was a gamble. It was all chance. It was all chaos. One thing led to another and human beings ended up today. But there's no purpose behind them. There's no creation behind them. And with this, the human being suddenly said, now I have science. I have science proving and philosophy and all of these proving to me I don't need Allah. And this became the new religion of the world today, of Europe, and of majority of the world today, is al-istighna'u anillah, people who think they don't need Allah. This is where history has brought us today. This is where everywhere you go, you see progress. Progress. What is progress? Material progress. Fancier phones, more sharp cameras, faster cars. This is what you are told, this is progress. I don't care how fast your car can go. If you are an immoral person, sayyul akhlaq, then you have not progressed, you have gone backward. This is the Islamic standpoint. Progress is not does not mean something physical, but progress is something in the heart. We are progressing towards Allah. Progress is about being virtuous, being someone of taqwa. It doesn't matter how fast your car is, how advanced your watch is. Technology doesn't give you progress. This is what Islam tells us. But with all of these things that we've made, all of these technologies, human beings are trying to say we don't need Allah. The first time someone made this statement, it was on the Titanic. In the ship, the Titanic, a big statement was made, this is the ship that will never sink. Lo and behold, famous story of the Titanic. And this is the case, human beings always want to pretend that they know more. They don't need Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always proves to us we are needy of Him. One of the benefits of COVID is that something so small that even the human eye cannot see brought the entire world to its knees and locked all of us up in our houses to remind us from Allah. You may have made whatever technology, cars that drive itself, shuttles that go into space, wherever you go, Habibi, in the end you have to kneel to the will of Allah. You have to bow, you have to bend, you have to break down in front of Allah. And that is why when we know Allah is Al-Ghani, our slogan should not be Al-Istighna'u Anillah, that we don't need Allah, but rather we don't need anything else except Allah. Al-Istighna'u Billah. Allah says in the Quran, Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abdah. Isn't Allah enough for you? وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. People scare you with things less than Allah. With an army, with the police force, with ideas. They scare you. Oh, if you say like this, then قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. Say, Allah is enough for me. Bring your army. عَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. It is upon Him I trust, and upon Him I put my reliance. And speaking of this, and speaking of this arrogance that human beings have ended up having today, we come to the two names of today. One of the most frequent pairs in the Quran, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz, from the root word in Arabic, Azza. In Arabic, if there's an earth, if there's a land that is Ardun Azaz, or Ardun Uzaz, they call that, you know, like when you have cement on the floor. If you have cement, can rain go through the cement? No. They call that Ardun Azaz, a firm, impenetrable ground. Nothing can get through it. This is what Azaz means. Imagine when you go for an MRI scan, you go to the hospital or an X-ray. What material is the door made of? Who can tell me? Yes. Sorry? Wood? No, not wood. Sorry? Lead. Lead. Why is it made of lead? Nothing can get through lead. Lead is a material, it's a madda. The X-ray waves cannot go through this. It hits a wall. Right? This is where the word Azza comes from. Something which nobody can get through. Nothing can get through. Everything that tries to get through it gets stuck. And this is where the name Aziz comes from, and Izzah. Azza ya'uzzu comes from another connotation of this word, is one who's honored, one who's dignified, one who's up high, and one who cannot be beaten. Just like Manchester United, right? Maybe not. Maybe Manchester City. Cannot be beaten. Nothing can get past them. Like Yassin Bounou in the World Cup. Morocco's goalkeeper. It was like no football could get past him into the goal, right? Yes, these are just examples, and I'll just for you to understand. Al-Aziz, Alladhi yaghlibu wa la yughlab, is the one who overwhelms, dominates, and nothing can dominate them back. Right? Morocco was dominating until halfway point in the semi-final. Then after that, unfortunately, that's another story. So I'm giving you these examples for you to understand when we say Allah is Aziz. We mean Allah dominates. Nothing can get through Him. Nothing can get past Him. And He dominates for eternity. This is a shift in all the names we have been discussing, the names of Allah. Because all the names we have been discussing so far, the merciful, the loving, the gentle, the kind, now we are talking about the dominating. You see, people don't like this idea, especially, you know, our non-Muslim friends today, our colleagues, our neighbors. There's this idea, God is love. God is nice. God is kind. But God cannot be wrathful. God cannot be dominating. People don't like to associate these things. They have kind of removed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his strength and power and weakened Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as they have done for men. Right? Who is the man today? You know, we all know what's happened to men today in the way men have been framed and the image of men been pushed out. Similarly, the same has been tried. They've tried to do the same thing with God himself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy, kind, love. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind and he's merciful. But look at this verse of the Quran. Allah says, إِن تُعَذِّبَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. This verse of the Quran, there's something very special about this ayah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was praying at night, he recited this ayah. And he stayed reciting this ayah again and again the entire night. The entire night. One ayah. What does this ayah mean? The Prophet ﷺ says in this ayah, O Allah, if you punish them, they are your slaves. You can do that if you wish. But if you forgive them, then you are the indefeatable, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, and the Most Wise. And because of how much he loved his ummah, you and me, he kept saying this ayah again and again. Oh Allah, you can punish them, but please forgive them. Again and again and again and again. Until Fajr. So we are shifting now to the names of Allah that don't just show his mercy and his love, but show his dominance and his power. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that shapes the beautiful soft child from the mother's womb, but he's also the one that sends the tornadoes that rip apart the cities. He's also the one that sends the earthquakes, that rip apart the earth like it's tissue paper. He's also the one who will tear the sky apart on the Day of Judgment. وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. The heavens will be rolled up in his right. This is Allah, the powerful, the dominant. Some names of Allah invoke love and hope, and other names of Allah invoke fear and reverence. Yes, we must fear Allah just as we love Allah. And these are the two wings of the bird. If you have too much fear of Allah, you start to lose hope in Him. And if you have too much love of Allah, you start to get comfortable. It's okay, He's going to forgive me anyway. It's all right, it's okay. Whatever I've done, Allah will forgive me, Allah will have mercy on me. So Aziz is the one that can never be defeated. Any commandment of His will happen, whether you like it or whether you don't. He is the honorable, the dignified, and also He is the source of honor. If you want honor, and you want dignity, and you want high status, take it from Al-Aziz. What does Allah say in the Quran? مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Whoever wants prestige, status, honor, all honor and dignity belongs to Allah. Don't take it from anyone else. Don't take it from people sometimes. How do we try to get status? Branded cars, Rolex watch, job title, tribe, lineage, family name, the restaurant I'm eating in, the company that I keep. Sometimes we do these things because we want to be respected. We want to be seen. Oh, this person is a respectable figure. This person is of this level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all of these things are temporary. And they don't mean anything about your status. Your status belongs with Allah. Don't try to please anyone. You please Allah and He will raise your status in the afterlife. Al-Izzatu Lillahi Jamia. This is the meaning of Al-Aziz. Now we come to the second name, Al-Hakim. Who can tell me what does Al-Hakim mean? Wise. The wise. What else? This is the popular translation, the wise. But there are three meanings for Al-Hakim. The just, good. Al-Hakam or Al-Hakim. Right? Close to Allah's name, Al-Adl. The ruler, the just ruler. Yes. What else? Allah judges al-hukum, to judge between His slaves, to send judgments down. Yes. It's quite different from the wise. Anything else? Sorry? Beautiful. This is the meaning of al-hikmah. This is another connotation of al-hakim, is the one who puts everything in the right place. This is what wisdom is. To say everything at the right time, to do at the right time, to give at the right time, to take at the right time, to be firm at the right time, and to be gentle at the right time. This is what hikmah is. This is part of it. So he said al-hakim is the wise who puts everything in its right place. He is al-hakim. He is the ruler, the judge, who tells you this is how it is and this is how it is not. He judges things as they are. And he is also, whatever he produces is with ihkam, perfection, precision. Nothing Allah does is random. Nothing Allah does is chaotic. Everything Allah does is exact. Okay? These are the meanings of al-hakim. Now tell me something. Why does al-aziz and al-hakim always come together? What do they have to do with each other? We talked about Aziz, the honorable, the powerful, nobody can defeat. We talked about Al-Hakim, the wise, the judge, etc. What do they have to do with one another? Yes.
He tells us he's got all this power and he knows when to use it. Allahu
Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first tells you he has power. No one can defeat him, no one can overcome his commandment, Al-Aziz. But he also knows where to use his power. This is where Al-Hakim comes in. Let me tell you, all the tyrants in the world today, they may be Aziz, they may be dominating. Adolf Hitler was dominating. Mussolini was dominating. Stalin was dominating. Fir'aun was dominating. But were they Hakim? Did they know where to use their power and where to be gentle? Who to use their power with and who not to use their power with? Was there abuse of their power? Absolutely. Does that happen to you and me sometimes? For example, men. Allah gives men certain responsibilities, certain rights, certain authorities. Do some men abuse this authority? Yes, in the house, outside the house? Yes. Not every Aziz is a Hakim. Not every powerful one knows how to use the power. Which of this young generation can remember a quote about this? With great power comes great responsibility, yeah? And that's why I said young generation, I don't think the uncles are going to relate to this. With great power comes great responsibility. Why was this quote said? Because many people have power, but they don't know how to use it responsibly. But Aziz and Hakim. Now, here's a trivia question to keep you all awake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Aziz for other than himself in the Quran. Sorry? Okay. The minister or the king of Egypt, he calls him Aziz. Because he was a king, the dominating king of Egypt. What else does he call Aziz? One person and one object. Yes. Say again. I didn't even think of this one actually. This is a third example. And in the afterlife, out of sarcasm, Allah mentions that there are people in Jahannam, in hellfire, and they are being punished, and the angels are saying to them, taste this punishment. Didn't you think that you are Aziz? You thought you were powerful. Now see, taste the effects of your abuse of power. Yes. Okay. That's not the name Aziz. The name Aziz is given to one more person and one object in the Quran. Okay, four surahs, three surahs, the second ayah includes Aziz, describing an object, not a person. Three surahs in the last seven juz of the Quran. Starting with Hamim. Thank you. Khalas, it doesn't count, guys. You guys are sleeping. Tanzeelul kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. Or, wa innahu la kitabun aziz. Allah calls the Quran Aziz. He calls the Quran Aziz. The Quran dominates. Al-Quran, and the Quran, the message of the Quran is a message that dominates and it will dominate this earth. Liyudhirahu ala dini kulli. Any ideology, any philosophy, any idea comes against the message of this Quran, it gets decimated, it dominates. That's why we should never water down the message. Give it as it is. We have something powerful. It's Kitabun Aziz. It's a dominating book. Nothing can beat it. Nothing can surpass it. There's one more person in the Quran called Aziz. No, that's really the king of Egypt, which was already mentioned. Oh, mashallah. Who said the Prophet ﷺ? Yes. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ Allah says, a messenger has been sent from amongst you. Your problems are aziz for him. They're a big deal for him. When you have an issue, the Prophet ﷺ, he hurts because you hurt. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ He's so keen for your guidance. And he's so merciful and gentle with the believers. Okay. Enough of trivia. Let us come. How does Allah introduce himself to us in the Quran? With what names does he introduce himself to us? The first time you hear about Allah in the Quran, how does he introduce himself? Hi, my name is Hisham. How does Allah introduce himself to you? Yes? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The most extremely merciful, the especially merciful. Now, there's one time in the Quran Allah introduces himself to someone, but not with Rahman, Rahim. With Azizun Hakim. With Musa alayhi salam. Allah says, Ya Musa, innahu anallahu al-azizul hakim. I want you to tell me why. I'll give you the context. 40 years, Musa alayhi salam has seen oppression, punishment, destruction, genocide, killing in Egypt. He escaped Egypt for 10 years. He is returning back to Egypt and he sees a fire. He goes to the fire and then Allah begins to converse with Musa. And he first says, it is I, Allah, Al-Azizul Hakim. Why not Rahman Al-Rahim? Why Azizul Hakim? Yes. Which name is this relating to? Hakim. Okay, so one good point.
Mm-hmm. Musa alayhi salam was a big, strong person. So when he comes to physically, he can pretty much allow him to show him that he's more dominating.
Allahu Akbar. Jameen. Beautiful, mashallah. So he said two things. One is all the struggles and the difficulty Musa alayhi salam went through, being thrown into a river, brought up in a palace, murdering someone by mistake, run away from home, exiled in the middle of nowhere. Allah, when he uses the word Hakim, he's showing him all of this was for a wisdom. You were there, that was the right time and the right place for you, Musa. The second is Aziz. His brother is saying it's because Musa alayhi salam is a strong guy. And he's a dominating guy, right? It's not easy to punch someone and kill them. He must have been a strong guy. So Allah is saying, you might be strong, but ana al-aziz, I am the dominating. Good. There's one, I want to hear more. Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. To give reassurance to Musa alayhi salam because of the task ahead of him. What task is ahead of Musa? Where is he going? Fir'aun. What does he need when he stands up to Fir'aun? He needs the dominating one, Al-Aziz. He needs Allah's izzah, Allah's power, and Allah's dominion, Allah's might. Because the man he's going to is the mightiest man on earth. One more? Any more for any more? Yes. Hmm. Beautiful, mashallah. That's another beautiful point. Mashallah, you know, I always learn when I come here. Really, wallahi al-azim, I always learn. What our young brother just said, right after Allah says, Al-Azizul Hakim, the first thing Allah says to Musa after that is throw your stick down. He gives him a commandment. If Musa alayhi salam doesn't realize the one he's talking to is Al-Hakim, he's the commander, he's the one who commands, he judges, he tells you what to do, then after that, if Allah tells him, throw down your stick, Musa alayhi salam, why is this fire telling me what to do? But Allah says, no, I'm al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, one of the meanings of Hakim, that Allah tells you what to do and what not to do. Al-hukm, the judgment, the ruling, He guides you. And one thing I forgot to mention is in Arabic, to give you a picture, there is something called al-hakama, which is the bridle of a horse. You know a horse, if you see a horse, when someone's riding a horse, there's something around the mouth of the horse, right? Something around the mouth. And this is connected to the reins. So you pull left, and the bridle moves the horse's face left and right. This bridle that covers the mouth of the horse, they call it hakama in Arabic. Because it restricts the horse. It forces it right or left. It pushes it right or left for its own good. Right? Or for some kind of benefit. And the same way, Allah is Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim. He is the ruler. He tells what's right and wrong. He restricts us. But He does so for wisdom, for a benefit. He doesn't restrict us because He hates freedom and liberty. No. He restricts us because freedom is not good for us. Not every freedom is good for us. Not every freedom is moral. Not every freedom helps society function. If there was ultimate freedom and people did whatever they want, what would happen? A road with no traffic lights. Imagine. That's how people drive on Wilmslow Road. Where are the rules? Where's the hakam? Where's the hukum? Where's the judgment? Where's the CCTV? There's no rules. Watch how people drive on Wilmslow Road. You're stuck there for 35 minutes, inching along. People are coming in and out. They're blocking roads, blocking side streets. This is what happens. When there's no rules, when you have freedom, there's chaos. So Allah subhanahu, one of the meanings of Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim, is Allah restricts for a purpose. He gives us restrictions for a reason. Okay. I'm going to give you another part of the Quran where Allah uses Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. And I'm going to ask you, why does He use this name in this place? Everybody ready? Ready? Rub your eyes. Bismillah. Stretch. Khalas. Allah says in the Quran, on the tongue of Lut alayhi salam, إني مهاجر إلى ربي إنه هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah commands Lut alayhi salam to migrate from Babylon to somewhere else. Go on. From Sodom to elsewhere. When Lut alayhi salam starts to migrate, rather than mentioning the location, he says, I am migrating, muhajir, I'm immigrating to Allah. He is Al-Aziz, the undefeatable, Al-Hakim, the wise, the just, the ruler. Why does he use these two names? Allah, what's your name, young boy? Muhammad, I haven't seen you before. Inshallah, I want to keep seeing you in the front row. Yeah? From next time, inshallah. That's a beautiful answer. You know, I have to say something. Never underestimate these young kids. Don't underestimate them. Sometimes they give you something which even the grown adults would never think of. Allah, He uses the word Hakim, the name Hakim, because Lut alayhi salam doesn't know where he's going or what's going to happen to him, but he knows Allah has a plan for him. Min al-hikmah, from the wisdom of Allah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. He uses the name Al-Aziz because when Lut alayhi salam is traveling in the middle of nowhere in the desert, it's not like today. You don't have a nice car and SOS and 999. No. You're traveling means you're in the middle of nowhere. You're walking. Or you're on a cow or a horse or a camel. Anything can happen to you. Highway robbers can attack you. And if you don't have an army, you don't have weapons, you're finished. But Al-Aziz is the dominating one. Al-Aziz cannot be defeated. Al-Aziz, no one can overcome him. So Musa, Lut alayhi salam knows, if I'm going somewhere, even if it's 1,000 miles, Al-Aziz will protect me. No one can stop me when Allah is with me. Al-Aziz al-Hakim. These are two of the usages of these two names in the Quran. It's very important to understand Allah's name, Al-Hakim. Allah says in the Quran, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Al-Hukm, ruling, legislation, laws, are ultimately, that's Allah's domain. We live in a world today where you will always hear the idea of freedom, right? Freedom of speech, freedom of this, freedom of that, freedom, everything. People are calling this out for the slogan of freedom. And in comparison to this, it might come across as though the laws of Allah are restricting. And they are. Because what happens on Rumza Road? You all know, I don't have to tell you. What happens to a road with no traffic lights, with no rules, with no restrictions? Madness, car accidents, killing, fatalities. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is, gives us hukum, He gives us a ruling, remember He is hakim, He is wise. Imagine today you buy a washing machine. You buy the washing machine, you bring it home. And you think to yourself, you know what, I've had so many washing machines before, let me just operate it. Surely I'm going to... Then you put all the clothes in and they come out pink. And you think, maybe I should have read the instruction manual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as you would go to the manufacturer's instruction manual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us. And He knows us inside and out. And He knows what ticks us and what helps us. And so He gave us the manual, that is these laws, as-sharia. And these laws are not new. These laws are old. These laws that we follow today are 4,000 years old. They predate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sharia came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, came to Musa. The Torah came to Musa. Allah calls the Torah, فيها هدى ونور. It has guidance and light inside it. This is the Torah. The Injil, the scriptures of Isa alayhi salam. They were the same laws. The laws were amended over time, edited. Allah made changes to them to suit the Prophet and the time and the place. Now I'm going to ask you a question. The laws that were sent to Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam and then to us, is the Sharia that came for us, the laws that came to us to govern our lives, is it more strict than the ones before us, or is it more liberal than the ones before us? Or is it more strict or is it more easy than the ones before us? It's easy. Who can give me an ayah? This is where we hit the wall. Sorry? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ is good, but specifically with halal and haram. Oh, you're very close. وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah commands him to say, I came with laws, and one of the things I came with, I made halal some things that were haram for you. This is the update, version 3, version 4, version 5 of the Sharia. It's update and it's easier than the one of Musa alayhi salam and the one of Isa. Come on, guys. But the core of the law stays the same. There were just edits, some changes made. Right? For example, Yusuf alayhi salam, some scholars say in his Sharia, in his law that he came with, it was permissible to prostrate to a human, in front of a human. That's what happens at the end of the surah, right? But that is no longer for us. These laws and these restrictions, you know, people call for freedom. What happened with freedom? Let's start with the most popular, one of the most popular freedoms today, akramakumullah, is what people call sexual freedom. Anybody can sleep with anybody. You don't need to get married, have relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, no rules. No rules. Just protect yourself. That's it. What has that led to today? That freedom, what has that led to today? AIDS. That's just one thing. That global epidemic, that disease that has affected millions of people, hundreds of millions of people. What else? This is the main thing. Destruction of the family. You don't know whose dad is whose. Whose child is whose. People think that other people, this relationship between man and woman is a play. It's fun. No commitment. There's nothing serious about it. You have it today and tomorrow, ma salama. I had breakfast and I'm gone. There's no commitment, right? And that is ihana, that is a humiliation, an insult to the other gender. There's no respect for each other. It's a joke, it's a plaything. This, what does Allah call marriage in the Quran? Mithaqan ghaleeza, a serious contract. You're not getting into something easy. You have to respect the other, commit to the other person. It's created a world where people are afraid of commitment. They like casual relationships. Freedom doesn't always beget good for humanity. Sometimes it destroys. This destroyed the family. How many other freedoms? The freedom to view and do whatever you want. Yes. Freedom of speech. The freedom to offend. Today, what's happening in Sweden? Someone's burning the Quran. It's part of freedom of speech, right? Now, someone doing something like this, is that going to create a response? Absolutely. Someone might do something severe back. And then what? People will die. People will be injured. People will be upset. People will get offended. One of the most beloved things to Allah is marriage, is halal, right? Because these restrictions, we should never see them as obstacles and we should never be shy of them. This is one part of izzah. When we say Allah is Al-Aziz, you know what happens to us? We have an inferiority complex. We feel small. You know why we feel small? Ibn Khaldun said it many years ago, the historian. What did Ibn Khaldun say? Anybody know the famous saying? He said, any people who are colonized, they become the lower, right? They become dominated by somebody else. مُوَلَّعُونَ بِثَقَافَةِ الْغَالِبِ They then start wanting to imitate and copy the ones that dominated them. So when we have this complex in our mind that, oh, we are far behind, we haven't progressed, our cars are not fast enough, our shoes are not shiny enough, we don't have these technologies, our factories are not as fast. When you start to think, though, the Muslim world is behind, we're inferior, we're slow, or we don't have anything, look at this, look at that country, look at this country. When you start to feel that, you start to think, hey, maybe I shouldn't just copy and imitate them in these things. Maybe their values as well. Maybe there's something there in their beliefs, in their values, in their ideas. Maybe that's what freed them. You know, I have so many experiences of young Muslim men and women. They come up with a doubt. I answer the doubt, another and another. And I realize after a few months of conversation that inside, the reason they have these questions is they feel low and small in front of the grand civilization of the West. They think Islam slowed us down. And so they want Islam to be, they want Islam to conform, to copy, to be the same as the other. Because they think it's superior, it's better, it's more advanced. Look, what kind of superiority? What kind of advancement? Material advancement? Is that the only thing, the way to measure things? Faster, stronger, better? That's the only way to measure things? No. Let me clarify, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to thrive in this world as well as the hereafter. He doesn't want us to struggle in this world. He wants us to thrive. Allah wants us to be wealthy, wants us to be honorable, wants us to have the best of this world and the hereafter. But that does not mean we give up our values. A machine gun is an advanced technology. That doesn't mean the one using it knows how and where to use it. If you don't have morals, qiyam, akhlaq, sharia, it doesn't matter what technology you have, you'll destroy. What has social media done to us? What has it done to the human mind? To children, yes. It's damaged the intellect of so many people, yes. Allahu Akbar, it's made the victims look like criminals, yes. It's desensitized us from so many things. We are not sensitive to the poor, to the needy, to haram, yes. The attention span of children outside of these six children is very low. So we made a technology. Does that mean we've advanced, we've gone forward? No, we've gone backward. We have to stop feeling low. We have to stop feeling small. We have to stop feeling inferior. You have something powerful. وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ Allah tells us this Quran is dominating, it's powerful. This Quran shook the earth. This Quran brought down the Persian Empire, the Egyptian Empire. The greatest empire, the Spanish empires of the day, it broke from the Quran, from this Islam, from people whose fires in their heart were lit by the Quran. If you believe in this Quran, you will be aziz, you will be powerful as well. And if you don't, and if you think it's backward, it's prehistoric, it's outdated, you will be outdated too. You will fall behind too. You will be in the rat race, the next technology, the faster car, the taller building. And so what? Your building is 3 inches taller than the other. Pat on your back, go home. What have you achieved? If morally, akhlaqiyan, your heart is degraded and gone behind, it doesn't matter how tall the building is. We have to realize what Allah says when we say Allah is Aziz. That if you want honor and dignity, we have to take it from Allah and what Allah revealed, and nobody else. Don't let anybody make you feel you are behind. You are ahead because you are walking with wahi, with revelation that is a light from Allah. It is brighter than the LED light of this shining thing above me. It is faster than the fastest electric vehicle you can think of. It is stronger and more powerful than the biggest nuclear bomb you can think of. This is the Quran. Allah says, when He talks about the Quran, He describes it. He says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. Have you seen someone who was dead and we brought them to life? وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And we gave him a light that he walks amongst the people with this light beaming from him. كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. Is he like someone who is in darkness upon darkness and he's never going to come out? كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That is how people's evil deeds have been made beautiful to them. These things I'm talking about, this kind of progress, it's not special. It's nothing beautiful, but the shaitan makes you think, he beautifies it to you. The Quran is more bright than the brightest light you can find. When you walk with the Quran in your heart and in your limbs and you live with the Quran and the teachings of this Sharia, you are Aziz. You are a person of honor and dignity. You have something nobody has. When you see other people with all of their materials and their tall skyscrapers and their nice machines, remember, they are in darknesses because they don't have the Quran. They don't have the Quran. Why do they wake up in the morning? How do they deal with their difficulties? Where are they going in the afterlife? They don't have the Quran. We have to feel Aziz because of this Quran. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu famously said, we are people. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Allah honored us with Islam. If we look for honor and dignity and status, prestige in something else, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. Allah will humiliate us. Don't forget that you are Aziz, that you are powerful beyond measure with the ayat of Allah. When Musa alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him a prophet, and Musa alayhi salam expresses his fears, he's scared, I have no army, no ammunition, they have so much against me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa something very important. بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكُمَ الْغَالِبُونَ. With my ayat, my signs, my miracles, you will be dominating. Doesn't matter if you're one or you are zero. It's my ayat which will dominate. And according to how close you are to these ayat and how deeply you understand them and the wisdom behind them, you will be dominant as well. And with that, we come to the end of our session. Allahu Azizun Hakim, the mighty, the dominant, the one no one can defeat, the wise, the just, the judge, the one who lays the rules and the laws down, that is for our betterment in this life and the hereafter. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.